Lord be with you.
And
proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And Jesus said, "When you pray, say this, 'Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
That's a strong microphone. Can you hear me okay? That's real. Thank you so much for coming. Good to see you all. I look forward to meeting you in the back there, some of you, and signing your books. I was doing that before the Mass. But anyway, let me tell you about this man. He was, this is easy to do because this is way up here. He was looking at canyons and cliffs, and he's standing by the edge of one, and he got hit with a gust of wind. And he started to fall right over the, and he fell right over the cliff, and it's about a mile down there. And luckily, there was a branch sticking out, a big, strong branch. And he caught a hold of it right on the end as he fell. And he's dangling there. It's about a mile down. He didn't know what to do, so he cries out. He goes, "Help! Is there anybody out there?" And he heard a voice. "This is God. Let go, and I'll catch you." And he said, "Is there anybody else out there?" Okay, so watch this now. Keep your eyes on me. That is one of the most freeing, gracious things that you can do in your life. And you know what I just did? I surrendered and I let go. And really what this Mass is about, it's about mercy, but it's about you receiving mercy. And in order for you to receive mercy, there has to be less dependence on yourself. See, a lot of people are controlling, and they hold on, they've got all their plans, and it's their way or no way. And what I'm saying tonight is, trust in God. That's the message of Sister Faustina, if you remember her. You've seen that portrait of the Sacred Heart. It's over there, way over in the corner, but I think you can see it. And the rays, the vision that Jesus gave Faustina, and what did he tell her to put right underneath? "Jesus, I trust in you." Say that. "Jesus, I trust in you." Oh, you're so good. So trusting is the message of divine mercy. We must trust in mercy. We begin Mass with it. I told you to receive mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Those aren't just words. What we're trying to do is open ourselves up to this mercy of God. And I'm going to break this open for you in this homily. Because the mercy of God is healing. And the mercy of God protects us. And the mercy of God raises us up. You have to understand that God is merciful. And I stand before you because of the mercy of God. And I have my ministry because of the mercy of God. Remember in the desert, Moses was in the desert, and he got the Ten Commandments, and the Lord passed by him. And the Lord proclaimed his name to Moses. He revealed to Moses who he was. And he said, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and full of steadfast love. So God defined himself as a God who is merciful. This is who God is, mercy. And what we have to do is, as we celebrate, so tonight we're celebrating this and we want to receive this, and what we have to do is open ourselves really wide to the mercy of God and let go of trying to earn it, deserve it, control it, or doing anything else, just receive it. Because the mercy of God is so sweet. Speaking of trust, I remember back in high school we used to have these trust walks. You know, you'd be out there and they put a blindfold on you. You have a partner and you have to trust them. You know how hard it is to trust when you can't see? It's very difficult because, you know, you feel like you're going to hit a branch or something, or where is he taking me, or where is she taking me? And you don't know, and it just feels like you're going to hit something. So that's the way it is in life. You can't always see the future. None of us knows completely what's going to happen. So what we got to do is trust the one who holds our hand. And then, if you are really good at trust, we used to do something else. And it was this. Your partner would stand behind you, and you had to get stiff as a board and fall backwards. And trust that they were going to catch you. So that was really hard to do. You know, some people couldn't do it. Some people couldn't do it. They would stand there and they'd say, okay, come on. It's like, I can't do it. Because I don't know if you're going to catch me or not. But here's what I want to say. God will catch you. He's trustworthy. You can lean on God, depend on God, trust on God, and rely upon God. That's what we're celebrating here tonight. That is the message that Jesus gave to Sister Faustina. Jesus, I trust in you. Say that again. Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, so we're laying the foundation here tonight. We're talking about trust. We're talking about letting go. We're talking about allowing God and his mercy to take over our life. This is really, really, really key. Now let's talk some about mercy, because that's just half the message. First of all, there's the trust part, and that's the message of mercy. But then there's the mercy part. Remember, God is merciful. We just had the penitential rite where we talk about, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. We said it three times. That's really important. Well, I was just in Sacramento last week. In fact, last Wednesday night, I was preaching a mission out there, a place called Vacaville. It's a little bit west of Sacramento, and it was the final night, the Mass of the Holy Spirit. And that day, I was preaching, and a man came up to me in the church, and he shared with me a story that I thought was really powerful. And it was about mercy. And he said to me, Father Cedric, he said, there was a time in my life years ago, I wasn't going to church. I was addicted to drinking. I was an alcoholic. I wasn't admitting it. And I wasn't going, and I just came inside this church that we're here right now, he said. And he said, you see the stations of the cross on the wall? And I was looking, there was all these stations. He said, I just went over to him because I was attracted to that third station. And I looked at the third station, and it's the one where Jesus falls for the first time. And he said, I stood under that station and I looked up at Jesus and I heard a voice deep in my heart. It wasn't an audible voice, but I heard a voice. And Jesus said to what I heard was, I fell, but I got up. You have fallen and you can get up too. And he said, Father Cedric, when I heard that voice, I was drinking, I was addicted, I wasn't going to church, but something happened in me. And I have to tell you that 21 years later, I now go to church, I'm in recovery, and I haven't had one drop to drink in 21 years. You see, that's mercy. The mercy of God forgives us, but you must understand, the mercy of God is that which interacts with our life, right where we are, in our addictions, in our depression, in our anxiety, in our stress, in our loneliness, in our hopelessness, our self-pity, all the things that you're going through right now. What happens is the mercy of God gets in there, works in our life, and lifts us up. Jesus said, I have fallen, but I got up. And where have you fallen? Is there an addiction in your life? Well, you can rise tonight because of the mercy of God. Are you struggling in an area with depression or despair or anxiety or stress? You know, we all have it in some ways. But sometimes you can be addicted to these things and just let that stuff rule your mind and your emotions, and it's just like, ah. You see, mercy brings resurrection. And I love what Jesus said to that man and what he's saying to us here tonight. I have fallen, but I got up. You have fallen, but you can get up. And so that's what we're celebrating tonight, the wonderful mercy of God and the fact that Jesus raises us up from wherever we are. And then I think about our prayer life. One of the areas where people, you know, we just had the gospel about prayer, the Our Father. One of the places where people fall, if you will, is this whole area about prayer. You know, it's like, oh, Father, you know, we're at a Rosary Congress and I should be doing much better than this, but sometimes I'm yawning and I'm falling asleep during the Rosary. And it's just not working right now. Well, maybe you've fallen, but you can get up. Call upon the mercy of God. And I think about, for example, I was thinking about as I prepare this homily, I don't know if you ever heard about the Desert Fathers. The Desert Fathers, they are they which went out to the deserts of Egypt, where it was real quiet, very solitary. They went out there at the beginning in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century. Well, in the 4th century, we heard about this prayer. It's called the Jesus Prayer, or the Prayer of the Heart. You see, in the desert, it's really quiet, it's very lonely, and sometimes it gets pretty dry. And your prayer life can be pretty tough. So they had a prayer, the Desert Fathers, maybe you've heard this. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they simply would pray that over and over again. And what would happen is, as they called upon the mercy of God, they would be infused with contemplation, strengthened, lifted up, helped, comforted by God. See, what they were doing is they were letting go of their own methods and ability to pray and worthiness to pray. As I said, there had to be a letting go. And they were simply saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And then came the contemplation. Then came the grace. Then came the power. And I want you to look at your prayer life right now. Mercy isn't just for our sins. Mercy brings resurrection. Mercy brings strength. Mercy brings help. Then I think about my own, you know, this prayer. Do you understand that the Our Father, you know, it's part of the Rosary, of course. Do you understand that the Our Father, we are given the secret to prayer in this prayer. The secret to prayer. Here's what it is. You know, I'm a monk. I pray all the time. I've been a priest now for 21 years. You know about my credentials, you know, TV and radio and books and all these different things. Here's the secret to prayer, if I could say it in one word. You ready for this? Father. Wow. You can unpack that. And let me just say it in a few words. What is Jesus saying about prayer that he just gave us in today's gospel? He said, this is how you pray. He said, Father. And what is he saying there? The Aramaic word is Abba, Daddy. And he's saying, basically, prayer is not a formula. It's not a ritual. It's not just something that you do because you're supposed to. Prayer is a relationship, not just with a being out there somewhere, you know, it has a lot of power, you know, that we just name God. He's saying prayer is a relationship that's intimate and that changes lives. Who is a father? You know, who's a father is somebody who gives you life. Father is somebody who sustains you, protects you, provides for you, loves you, hopefully is intimate with you. I am so glad that I had a good relationship, not a good, a great relationship with my dad. And I mean, he was my best friend. Unfortunately, I lost him 11 years ago to death, but there's a great reunion coming, can't wait for that. But my dad was such a supporter, my best friend and my biggest supporter. And you know, I could always talk about trust. I could always trust in him. And he would always help me and support me, and he was such a role model for me. I think, I was thinking about this for the homily. I think the earliest memory I have of my dad was, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts. We used to go to Cape Cod, or as they say in Boston, Cape Cod. And you know, Cape Cod, it's that little hook at the end of Massachusetts. They have great beaches there. Well, we'd go to Cape Cod and we'd go swimming. But like, now, picture me at like 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old. This is the earliest memory of my dad. Here's my father holding me in his arms, going into the water. And I can distinctly remember being over our head, my head, not his head. And here he is holding, and the waves coming. And, you know, my dad was a carpenter. You should have seen the biceps of my dad. I mean, he had these big, muscular arms. And I remember as he held me, and I would be holding on to his muscles, and just holding on for dear life. And these swells would come, and they'd come like right up to his neck, and he'd hold me up, and then they'd recede. And although it was terrifying because of the waves and the storm and what was, I remember feeling safe because I was in my dad's arms. And I knew that I was going to be okay. And, you know, we all have things that come against us, and the swells of life, and the water, literally, in this church, over our heads. You know, you've been through Katrina. You've been through, was it Isaac just a little while back? You know, all that stuff. But yet, the mercy of God, what does it do? It holds us. Look at, you're still here. Yeah, you've been through some trials and tribulations, but you've survived. You're here. God has held you. He's kept you in his strong arms. I love what Psalm 63 says. It says that my soul, get this, Psalm 63, we pray this in the morning office. My soul clings to you, that's trust. Your right hand holds me fast. That is such a beautiful psalm. It's for all of us. That's who our God is. He's daddy, he's father. He's the one with the strong, he's got Almighty God, we call him. So he's got the power. And so what does mercy do? It protects us in the storm. We're all suffering. We're all going through. We've all seen the water. The waves and the swells come, but we're held. That's the mercy of God. That's what we're celebrating tonight. God's got you in the palm of his hands. He's holding you close to his heart. His arms, you got to see the biceps of God. You know, you think my dad had big biceps. Woo! God is almighty. And, you know, we're celebrating the year of faith. It starts tomorrow. Did you know that? The year of faith in the Catholic Church. So trust is the sister of faith. Faith is believing in God, but trust is leaning on God. It's relying on God. And you know why we're having a year of faith? So that our hearts will be wide open to receiving God more fully. A personal relationship with God, knowing him in an intimate way. When we're going through the storms of life and the hardships of life, that God is right there for us. Oh, I have such hopes for the year of faith. And I hope you do too. So I wanted to share with you a little bit about a song that I heard. You know, I love Christian music, and Amy Grant is a Christian singer. And she sings a song. Let me go over here to my notes because I wrote the verses down. And the song is called Ask Me. Ask Me. And basically it was, ask me why I believe in God. And what she does is in the verses, she tells about a friend of hers when she was a young girl who was raped. And in the rape, she says in the verses, she discovered God's healing mercy in her suffering. And so Amy, what she does, what she sings is this. Get these verses. God's in the middle of her pain. Mercy brings life. In the middle of her shame. God's in the middle. Mercy in the middle. And when I heard that song and I thought about mercy, I thought about even rape. Even the abuse that can come into our life. Even people that speak against us and are harsh to us and it's hard in the difficult relationships. There's mercy. Where's the mercy? In the middle. That's what I love about that song. Right in the middle of it all, there's mercy for us. And what does that mercy do? And this is why Amy said, ask me if I know that there's a God. The mercy brings healing for the shame, the guilt, the hurt, the pain. See, mercy isn't just an attribute of God. Mercy is God. This is who God is. And, you know, ask me how I know that there's a God, because I stand before you because of his mercy. I've been forgiven, I've been saved, and I've experienced healing deep within me, the guilt and the shame and self-rejection and all that type of stuff. And I can do it because of God's mercy. You see, mercy is his interaction with us, his movement in our life. It's undeserved graciousness. And God is merciful to all. So we come here tonight to open our hearts to this, to hear about God's mercy, to celebrate God's mercy, and to receive God's mercy. I mean, I want you walking out of here And like healing balm, not a bomb, balm, moving in your soul, whatever situation you're going through right now, what have I talked about? I've talked about prayer, I've talked about depression, I've talked about sufferings, I've talked about abuse. You know, maybe you've gone through a divorce, maybe you've had an abortion. Mercy for you and me. God's mercy is everlasting. God's mercy is healing. God's mercy is protecting. God's mercy raises us up. I love God's mercy. I'm talking about healing now. I want you to receive this. Receive healing for your past, your deep, dark sins. Receive healing for self-rejection. Receive healing for guilt and condemnation. Receive healing for abuse of the past. See, this is mercy. God's healing love for you personally and his love for me. I remember I was visiting my mother. She lives down in Florida now, and she lives south of Daytona Beach. You know, my mom and dad moved south from Massachusetts all the way down to Florida. Then dad died about 11 years ago. Now mom's alone. She's 88 now. And I still go and visit her, and we Skype every once in a while. And you know what Skype is? You can see each other on the computer. I was just coming over here, and the Skype thing was ringing. I go, sorry, Mom, not now. I got to go over. So there's Mom in Florida, and I go visit her, and she lives kind of near the beach down near Daytona. And if you've ever seen the beaches down there, they're real hard-packed sand, and they actually drive cars on them. Well, I like to run on the beach. One time I went for a run on the beach. It was a holiday. There was a lot of people there. And I looked at the beach, and I mean, it was just full of litter and tin cans and cigarette butts and tire tracks and people everywhere and ruts and scars and all this different stuff. And I looked at the beach. I said, what the heck is this? Look at what they've done to my beach. You know, they've ruined the beach. So I went for my run, and I came back, and next day, Memorial Day was over. It was Memorial Day with all those people there. And it was finished and everything, and everybody was gone. And I looked at the beach. I got there, nothing like yesterday. The beach was totally clean. You couldn't even tell a person had ever walked on that beach, ever. Totally clean. The sand looked like a virgin beach. And I was looking out at the waves, which weren't too far. The wave would come and then crash, splash, and wash the beach. Then it would recede. Then it would happen again. The next wave would come. Crash, splash, wash the beach. As I'm watching this, I think I heard the same voice that that man did at the Station of the Cross. And what I heard was, Cedric, tell my people, my mercy is just like those waves. Rhythmic, powerful, washing, healing. I never forgot that. Oftentimes when people come to me to confession, I tell them, think about a wave washing your heart. The guilt, the shame, the condemnation, the self-hatred, the perpetual guilt that you feel. Let God's mercy. See, for that to happen, what do you got to do? There's got to be a letting go. It's like, wait a minute now, if I'm guilty enough and I feel bad enough, then maybe God will forgive me. No, it's not how it works. The mercy of God, the graciousness of God, the love of God. Remember, we're talking about Father here tonight. So we celebrate this in every area of your life, in all the different ways. You know, your sins, your sufferings, your addictions, your prayer life. Mercy. Mercy. In the French, don't they say merci? Merci. It means thank you. Mercy. Thank you for mercy. And then lastly, I go on all night about this, and if you want to read more, just grab one of my books. You'll read it in some way, shape, or form. But lastly, of course, mercy has to do with the forgiveness of our sins and salvation. Now, what makes my ministry pretty unique for many people is that if you've read my books or watched my TV program, I talk about being saved. And not many people in the Catholic Church do that. Protestants love me, by the way. You know, I'm on the Church Channel. This is that national channel, Trinity Broadcasting Network. All these Protestants are contacting me, Father Cedric, you know, if I had heard this before, I wouldn't have left the church. You know, I wouldn't have become Protestant. Well, anyway, I'm not doing it to win favor. I'm doing it because this is my experience. And what I experienced in my own life was forgiveness of my sins and the blessed assurance, not because I'm worthy or because I deserve it, but because Jesus died for me on the cross and he died for all of us. See, that's mercy. That's what Sister Faustina was trying to proclaim to the world. Jesus, I trust in you. Say that again. Jesus, I trust in you. That's right. So we're letting go of our way of trying to do it, and we're allowing Jesus to do it. And how did he do it? This is why I'm a passionist, because he went to the passion. That's why there's red and blue rays coming out of his heart, the blood that cleanses and forgives, the water that heals and cleanses. And that's the vision of mercy. So tonight, receive mercy. Let go of whatever it is that you're clinging so tightly to, whether it be, you know, an addiction or self-pity or shame or guilt or your own way of trying to earn heaven or whatever it is. And allow that mercy of God to bring healing. So those of you who watch my program, you know about this story I love to tell. It's one of my favorite stories. It's about this man. This is salvation now. Eternal life. Going to heaven. Living forever. That's why we're having what's called the new evangelization, the Synod of Bishops, right at this moment in Rome, and the Pope, this new evangelization, because we're trying to proclaim to the world this salvation that comes through Christ. We're not trying to proclaim to the world ritual. We're not trying to proclaim to the world, you know, just some kind of rote thing or religion or whatever it is. We're trying to proclaim eternal life with God in heaven forever, and it is going to be good. And I don't know if any of you have ever had any glimpses. Well, I have, and it's delicious. You know, about a week ago, they were showing an armored car. I'll get to the story in just 1 second. They were showing a car of a bank robber who had just robbed a bank. There were two of them in the car. They're driving down. This is Los Angeles. It can only happen in Los Angeles. They're driving down the street. Maybe you saw this. The cops were in hot pursuit. What are they doing? They're throwing the money out the windows. So that, you know, everybody on the sides of the road would go running over and stop the cops, right? And the people that are watching on TV, they're all running because they know the route. They're getting there. The money's coming out. They're getting in front of the cops. The guys are trying to get away. This is what we're doing with evangelization. We're taking the treasure and the riches, and we're throwing it out the window for any and everybody who will receive it. That's what this new evangelization is all about. That we would proclaim the treasure that we have in Christ, the riches that we have in Christ, the mercy of God, and the offer of eternal life. That's why I'm so excited to be a priest and be preaching the gospel in many different places. So the story that I love to tell, here we go, and I'll wind down. Sorry, I didn't mean to go so long, but you're so nice and easy to preach with. But I wanted to tell you about this man. He was 75 years old, and we're talking about mercy now and eternal life. The man is 75 years old, and he has a heart attack, and he gets ushered up to the pearly gates, and he's met by St. Peter. Of course, St. Peter in charge of the pearly gates, and he looks at the man, and the man looks at him. He goes, "St. Peter, can I get into heaven?" St. Peter says, "Well," he says, "in order to get into heaven, here's what you got to do. Demonstrate to me that you have 1,000 points. He goes, "1,000 points? What are you talking about?" He says, "How do I do that?" St. Peter says, "Well, just tell me about your life." So he goes, "Okay, St. Peter, I was born and brought up Catholic, was baptized as an infant, confirmed in the 9th grade, went to church just about every Sunday. I was married for 50 years, and I raised 4 children in the church. How many points is that?" St. Peter said, 2. He goes, 2? He goes, I was a Knight of Columbus. I was helped out at any function that we had in the church. I was an usher and a Eucharistic minister and a lector. I gave 10% of my income to the church. And get this, St. Peter. My mother-in-law, for the last 20 years of her life, lived with us. How many more points is that? St. Peter says, 2 more. Oh. He goes, 2 more? He goes, "That's 4 points. I got to get 1,000. He says, "I can't do it. I'm going to have to throw myself on the mercy of God." St. Peter smiled and said, "Come on in, that's worth 996 points." Somebody in the back likes that. I'm going, "All right, you're waking up back there." So, the mercy of God, healing, the mercy of God, lifting us up, the mercy of God, helping us in our prayer life, the mercy of God, healing us from our shame, the mercy of God, saving us from our sins, the mercy of God, bringing us salvation. So we celebrate. I pray that you will receive and that your lives will never be the same because of tonight. Faustina, Sister Faustina, saw Jesus, and she was told this message: "Jesus, I trust in you." Please say that.